I'm glad you're here today. You know what it was? It's the fresh coating of snow that fell that made you all just really interested in each other and talking about it. Is that, do we have a few snow lovers left in February here? Yes, we do. Yeah. And maybe some of us are a little tired of it, but I just got to tell you, what the Lord brought into my life was a fresh perspective on this as I watched the snow falling all day yesterday. And the Alegrias are with us today from Chile. And Brother Benjamin has said that and Danny, his wife, thought it was beautiful. And it looked so pretty. And he enjoyed shoveling. He helped Pastor Junior shovel in Plainfield. And he said, this may be the last time I get to shovel for a long time. And I went home and I'm looking at my stuff and thinking, I could live without shoveling. But I found myself thinking about the blessings of it again. And it truly was pretty snowfall. And I need the exercise anyway, so it's not a bad thing.
Well, once again, it is my privilege to be here. At Calvary Baptist, it's always a joy for us to come up and to be with you and to worship with you on Sundays and be a part of the ministry. We are so thankful for you, for your prayers, for our ministry, for your support of our ministry, for your part as well in the ministry of the Lauks. We appreciate that so much, and again, we appreciate the opportunity we have to be a part of the ministry out in Plainfield as well. I want to, my wife sends her greetings. She's not able to be here because she works. She has a secular job, but she normally would come up with me if she could. But we left last Monday from our house in Illinois to go to Faith Baptist Bible College in Iowa. Benjamin had the opportunity to present their ministry and to speak in the Global Reach Connect, the Mission Prayer Band, there at Faith on Monday. And then we participated in the Refresh Conference throughout the week. Then Friday, we came directly from Faith to this area. We were able to be in the Friday night service at the church in Plainfield had a great time there. We were looking forward to a service last night as well at Plainfield, but of course the weather prevented that. We are thankful to be here today, and I want to send greetings from my wife. I also want to take just a brief moment. I know it's a couple months past now, but want to express our thanks for the packages that we received at Christmas time. I believe that was a project, I guess, of some of the ABFs, and we appreciate that. It was very much appreciated and helpful, things like that kind of support also says, hey, we're thinking about you. And that really encourages a missionary's heart. And so we want to thank you for that. Much of my ministry has been being a bridge. We've experienced that even here with helping with the ministry in Plainfield. And there's nothing wrong with being a bridge. Someone said that people are lonely because they build walls instead of bridges, and I want to build bridges in ministry. And I say that because it's always a pleasure for me to introduce one set of friends to another set of friends. We were able to do that last year. In the early service, we had the opportunity to introduce Patricio and Deborah, the president of Adelphos Chile, and his wife to the church. This year, have the opportunity and the privilege to invite or to introduce another one of the members of the directorate, the leadership administration of Adelphos Chile to you today. Benjamin Alegría has served now for 10 years with the leadership of Adelphos in Chile. The part that deals especially with the young people, with university students, if you weren't here for the presentation at the beginning of the ABF, and had the privilege of serving, preaching in some of the camps that he has organized. He's actually kind of been with Adelphos almost the whole life of Adelphos, because his father is one is the founding pastor of the Adelphos Ministries there in Chile. And then his wife, Daniela, Dani, is with him as well. And again, they're both bilingual, so don't be afraid to talk to them. In fact, Dani is studying to be an English teacher in Chile. So don't be afraid to go up to them, talk to them. They are bilingual. And Benjamin is going to preach to us in English as well. But again, it's a privilege to serve with them, to be co-workers in the ministry. It's a privilege to introduce them to you. And we're looking forward to what God has laid on his heart and to share from the Word of God.
Good morning, everybody. How are you doing? Good? Okay. Sean has a lot of faith in me, so he says that I'm a bilingual. So Sean, thank you for that. I think that I'm a bilingual, but I told in the first service that was my first time preaching in English. This is my second time, so maybe you're gonna get a little bit more about my bilingual experience. So I'm Benjamin Alegría. My last name Alegría means joy. The direct traduction is joy. I'm not that happy all the time, but that is my name. It's not my fault. So, if pastor doesn't work, I think I'm gonna make jokes for a living. No. We are happy to be here. We are enjoying the time, and the first service was pretty awesome. We have, with the little group upstairs, we have amazing conversations. And I'm glad to be here with my wife, Daniela. We've been married for 2 years and 2 months, and we are happy to be here. And it's a privilege to share the word with you guys and to get to know you each other. And we're really blessed about that. I said, okay. Generational fellowship. Oh, this is turned off. My mistake. Okay. When I was 18 years old, I felt that God called me to something different. And I was feeling in my heart that God was calling me to the ministry. So the first things that you have to do when God is calling you to do something is to prepare yourself. Like in all the areas, if you want to be a doctor, you have to study. If you want to be a medic, you have to study. If you want to be a football player, you have to train hard. If you want to be a teacher, you have to study. If you want to be a pastor, you have to study. You have to prepare yourself. So when I was 18 years old, I went to Argentina to prepare myself. I went to the seminary there. I studied theology for 3 years. And in Argentina, they have a good pizza because they have a lot of Italian influence for the immigration that they have. So they speak with the hands, like this. You understand what I'm trying to say? And there they have a restaurant. That's the name of the restaurant is Guerin, with the R, Guerin. And the thing that got my attention of this restaurant is that the oven of the restaurant that you can see, that is the actual photo of the oven. The oven was turned on in 1932. And has never been turned off since that day. So it has been almost 100 years that the oven is still burning. They made it that way because of the temperature. They cannot have a hard change of temperature for the material of the oven, so it can broke. So they pay a chief in people to be in night keeping the oven at 500 degrees. They are paying people just to keep the temperature of the oven. I don't know if you like barbecue that much to keep an oven for almost 100 years, but they are doing that because they are taking care of the oven, of the temperature. And you know, when we speak about ministry, when we talk about missions in church, the goal is not only to start something. The goal is the endurance, the continuity of the ministry. The goal is to keep the flame alive. When you are fell in love with somebody, if someone here is in love, when you feel in love with somebody, oh, I want to marry you. The goal is not to marry someone. The goal is to stay in love with someone during the time, continuity, endurance. The goal is not to start a church, to have a ministry. The goal is that that church in that ministry have to have continuity during the time. So to have continuity, we have to make generational fellowship. We have to work together to have endurance during the time. And today I want to reflect on the example of Paul and Timothy, how their relationship give us directions so that the work of God can continue over time. Please come with me to Acts 16. Acts 16, we want to read past the verse 1 to 5. Says the verse, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, the son of certain woman, which was a Jew, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go for him with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews, which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily." If we speak about Paul and Timothy and his example, we have to look at their relationship and how Paul take Timothy when he was a little young man, and he began to prepare Timothy to the ministry. But for that situation, first we have to, there must be an initiative. There must be an initiative. The Apostle Paul played a key role in mentoring the young man, personally investing and trusting him with important tasks and providing long-term support. We know that Timothy was raised in Lystra. Paul was in Lystra on his first missionary journey. And you can see that in the chapter 14. And there in Lystra, Paul suffered a lot of persecution and pain, but Paul was establishing the church in Lystra, the church that maybe was the church of Timothy. So Paul was working for a long time in Lystra. So when he saw Timothy, when he heard about him, he took the initiative with Timothy. He takes some actions of the life in the life of Timothy that are going to change the path of Timothy. Paul's initiative, he called Timothy. He called Timothy. In the verse 3, he said to him, "Him will Paul have to go for with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all his father was Greek." So Paul called Timothy to the ministry. He see Timothy, a little young man that was well reported. He have a good testimony. Paul saw with vision a little man, and he called Timothy to the ministry. Paul left Timothy with the church, and in the future he was preparing a pastor. Paul see and Timothy a pastor. Paul see with faith and with vision, he saw Timothy. He was believing on the calling that God gives to Timothy. He prepares Timothy. We see many opportunities when Paul sent Timothy for a spiritual task. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2, encountering the Thessalonians who were suffering persecution. In 1 Corinthians 4, 17, he sent Timothy to strengthen the faith of the new Christian in Corinthians. In 1 Timothy 1, 3, we can see the Paul sent letters to Timothy to correct the church in Ephesus. In 1 Corinthians 16, 10, Paul praised Timothy for his loyalty, for his work with him. Paul spent many time with Timothy, trying to get him better in the ministry. He invests on Timothy. We can see in 1 Timothy 1, 2, Paul say this about Timothy. "Unto Timothy, my own son in faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord." You can notice, we see in the chapter 16, that the father of Timothy was a Greek. That means that the father of Timothy was a non-believer. So Paul take a stance to be a role model for Timothy, a spiritual figure in the life of Timothy. You know, when we speak about taking initiative, we're speaking to people that are mature and spiritual in the church. We need to take the initiative with the youth. We need to take the initiative with the young people that maybe, as Timothy, they don't have that role in their houses. They don't have that spiritual role. They don't have that person that is sat by his side, teaching them. Maybe they never talk in the house about the gospel. They're never taught about principles in the marriage, in the couples, in the love area. Maybe they don't have those stuff. And they need that the church prepare role models, a spiritual woman, a spiritual men that take the initiative. I think that in the church, It's not the lack of theology. It's not the lack of knowledge. It's not the lack of a spiritual life. I think we have a lack of initiative. We need those people. I remember while I was growing up to have those kind of people by my side, that they were telling me, hey, Benjamin, I know that you want to do this. Maybe do it in this way. Maybe it's better if you wait a little bit. I have people by my side. One day they take me to eat. Hey, let's go grab some lunch, some hot dogs. They grab some pizza. In Chile, we love to play football, like soccer, football. We don't play football. You know what I mean? It's okay. We love you. It's fine. Actually, we play a lot of soccer. And I have people in my church that come to me, hey, you want to play soccer? We're going to play against other team. Okay, let's go. They put by my side, trying to be a good influence, trying to be a good leader, trying to take the initiative in my life. So people, we have to take the initiative with others. We cannot wait on the pastor to do all the work. We cannot wait on that because we are the church. And we have to take a stance. And I noticed during the years, in my little experience, that there are people in the church that they don't want to take responsibilities. They don't want to be that man. They don't want to be that woman. No, it has to be another person that has to do this. Maybe the pastor. Maybe the deacons, the leaders. But the church has to take initiative. He trusts Timothy. In Philippians 2, chapter 19 and 20, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy surely into you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are in Jesus Christ, but ye know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Paul saw Timothy as a son. And in Philippians chapter 2, he was sending Timothy to the churches to encourage the church, to raise up the spirit of the church. You know, many times we don't trust the youth. We don't trust them with nothing. We trust them with problems. Hey, can you move the church? Chairs, yeah, that's one. Can you move the chairs? Can you clean this area? Can you manage the computer? Can you put the sound? We trust the youth only with problems, but not with spiritual responsibilities. Paul sent Timothy, and he says to the Philippians, I have nobody like him. There is nobody like him. He served me as a son served a father. Paul's initiative, he called Timothy, he prepared Timothy, he invests in Timothy, he trusts Timothy. Some lessons. Take initiative. As a leader, we must take initiative with people. We have to remember that success in leadership is not only executing something, but rather preparing for these plans to develop in the long time. You have to take the initiative. You have to be that person. We have to see the youth like Paul see Timothy. Okay, there's a young man with a good testimony. He want to be in the church. He want to serve. Let's do something with him. Let's do something with her. He's been here for a long time. He have to do something. Take the initiative. Train servants. We must train servants for the ministry. We need to start trusting others, delegating not only problems, but also responsibilities. We need to trust in the youth. They're going to fail? Yes. They're not going to do it like you do? Yes. But it's part of the process. You have to start somewhere. Believe in the youth. Many leaders complain about the youth in the church, but they do not listen to them or take their calling seriously. Invest in the youth. Believe in the youth. If you're not giving responsibilities to the youth, if you're not preparing young men, if you're not giving them responsibilities, the things that you're saying and you're communicating is that you don't believe in the youth. You don't believe in that God can call young men and ladies to the ministry. That is what you're trying to say to them. And believe me, they are hearing. They notice. Last lesson, don't wait too long. We always wait for young people to no longer be young before involving them in the ministry. In my church, this happened a lot, and I've been seeing this. We always sad when a young fella with somebody's not in the church anymore. And we get really sad. But maybe we are waiting too long for invest them. We are waiting too long to give him responsibilities. But must be an initiative. Paul encouraged Timothy, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Young men, if you have something in your heart, if God is calling you to do something, to live something, to renounce to something, do it. You don't have to ask permission to nobody to make spiritual decisions. Let nobody despise your youth. Now is the time to take spiritual decisions. The decisions that you are making today are going to affect your future. The person who you are going to fall in love is going to affect your future. With who you decide to pass the rest of your life, obviously going to affect your future. The habits that you have while you're young are going to affect your future. So let no one despise your youth. If God is calling you to do something, do it. Do it. Not only has to be an initiative, there must be a character. There was a deep relationship between Paul and Timothy. Paul saw Timothy as a son, and Timothy saw Paul as a spiritual father. This relationship was built on respect and honor, which Paul himself taught to Timothy. There was a path. Paul says this to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:1-2. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger man as a brethren, the older woman as a mother, the younger as a sister with all purity. Paul leave a path for Timothy for the relationship that he had to have with the older generation. When we speak about character, we speak about a character of honor and respect to the older generation. Timothy had a character that honored and respected Paul. And Paul was willing, and Timothy was willing to be at his side on many occasions. Can we do some numbers here? Rookie Timothy. Maybe here we have many rookies, Timothys. But you know, Timothy was at least 22 or 24 years old when Paul met him in Lystra. The chapter that we read, chapter 16, Timothy was 22 or 24 years old. When Paul sent his first epistle to Ephesus, Timothy would have been no less than 36 or 38 years old. And after being converted and learning the faith of his mother and grandmother for several years, he spent about 14 years serving alongside Paul's ministry. And after 14 years, Paul left Timothy in charge of the church in Ephesus. So when we read the pastoral letters, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, is Paul writing to Timothy after almost 15 years? He began when he was 22 or 24. But we have 15 years. And what was Timothy doing all those years? You want to know? He was serving alongside Paul. And let me ask you a question, young people. Are we willing to be servants? Are you willing to be a servant at the church? Are you willing to have that character? Are you willing to be a servant of the Lord? Are we willing to follow a vision other than mine? Are you willing to renounce your own thought, your own willing to hear an older man to say, hey, you have to do it this way? Okay. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to be correct by somebody else? Are you willing to receive advice from the pastor, from the leaders? Are you willing to do all these things? Are you willing to be led for somebody? You know, Timothy has a character. He was willing to be led by Paul. And he spent 15 years working with Paul. I'm going to read some passage real fast that we're going to see what was doing Timothy all this time. Acts 18:5. Now when Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself wholly to preaching the word. Acts 19:22, and he sent two of his assistants, Timothy and Erastus, into Macedonia and stayed in Asia for a while. Romans 16:21, Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you, and so does Lucius, Jason, and other men. 2 Corinthians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God. Philippians 1:1, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ, to all the saints in Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and guess what? Timothy, our brother. 1 Corinthians 4:17, for this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord. He will remind you of my ways, the ways in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church. 1 Thessalonians 3:2, we are sending Timothy, our brother and God fellow worker in the gospel of Christ. Philippians 2:19, but I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly. Timothy was putting in the work, was serving alongside Paul all the time for 15 years. Lessons that we can get from the character of Timothy. The church needs servants. Timothy was willing to serve Paul and the church in whatever areas he was required. He was in Macedonia. He was going to the jail with Paul. He was in a missionary trip with Paul, doing the work, serving alongside Paul. Follow the vision. You must be willing to serve under the vision of others in order to contribute to God's plan. If you're not willing to follow the vision of the pastor of the church here in Rapid Rivers, yeah, I say it well, Rapid Rivers. If you're not willing to follow the vision, if you're not willing to be led by somebody else, you're not contributing to the plan of God. Maybe you have your own plans. Leave it at your house, you know? Leave it at your personal life. But when we want to serve God, we have to renounce our personal projects and work for the vision of God. Be humble. There's no insignificant task when it comes to serving God. Be humble. Be humble. When Paul speaks about Timothy and Bernabé, he speaks about his servants. I'm going to send you my servants. Are you willing to be a servant? You know, there is no insignificant task when we speak about serving God. I remember when I was a little kid, I wanted to serve in the church. And my father said to me, well, you can be in the door, open the door for the people. And I was like 9 years old with my tie and my shirt, open the doors for the people. Good morning. Good morning. In the entry of the church, my dad, after my dad told to me, hey, I'm cleaning the sidewalks in the morning of the church, so the people they don't find all this mess. You can help me if you want it. And I was, okay, I can do it. And there we was in the morning at the church cleaning the sidewalks. You know, I know that when I was a little kid, those activities was really fun to me. I didn't understand the spiritual impact that those activities are going to be in my life. There's no insignificant task when we speak about serving the Lord. Can be shovel some snow. But if you're doing it for the Lord, it's in a spiritual service to the Lord. Can be cleaning the church. Can be helping somebody. But if we do it for the Lord, has a lot of potential. Be patient. If you have a call to the ministry, don't be hurried to love the pulpit, to love this place. And love the church, love the people. That is the principal ministry. Love the church, love the people. If you don't love the church, if you don't love the people, this is an accessory, nothing else. The first ministry is the people. The first ministry is to love the church. And just for end, there must be one mission. When we speak about Paul and Timothy, when he write his last letter, 2 Timothy, he leaves, I think, his last desire to Timothy. If you can join me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says to Timothy the next thing. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead and his appearance and his kingdom. Preach the word, be incensed in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Can we read the 5 at the 7? But watch, do all things, endure afflictions, do the work on an evangelist, make full proof of the ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Paul knew that there was his last time on this earth. He said to Timothy, for I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Church, we need to understand that we don't have many time on this earth. Youth, you have to understand that youth is not forever. I am 30 years old, and I feel old. I went to faith seminary this week to speak with the students, and I was speaking to them, and I was asking how old are you, and they were I'm 19, I'm 20, and I was I'm 30. This is a long ride, and to 30 is I know, believe me, I know. But you know, we don't have many time in this earth. And Paul says to Timothy, hey, preach the word. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. We need to focus. We have one mission that is build the church of God. Spread the gospel in these lands. Be the light of the world. Be the salt of the world. We have one mission as a church. We don't have personal projects here. We have one mission. And we have one life. Paul said to Timothy, I'm ready to be offered. My time is here is not too much. I don't have much time. So I have to do it. We need to get focused. We need to do it right now. To end in, I want to leave you with this thought. Paul said to Timothy in chapter 2, verse 2, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. We're speaking about the initiative of Paul with Timothy and the character of Timothy to be a servant and be willing to be led up with Paul. But right now, is Paul is speaking to Timothy, all the things that I did with you, now you have to do it with another young man. You have to do it with another generation. There must be another generation. I see kids running in the church. You know, it doesn't bother me. In my church, if a kid cries during the sermon, it doesn't bother me. Because if kids are in the church, it's because the church has a future. If you see young men making mistakes here, it doesn't bother me. because we are here to be role models, spiritual leaders. We can correct him. We can give you advice. It's fine. Make a mistake here. It's fine. That's what we are, the church. But Paul said to Timothy, okay, pretty cool what you're doing in Ephesus, but right now, there's others that have to go. There's other generation that need to be led. Abraham Lincoln says the same, this phrase, the best way to predict the future is to create it. You know, church, we have a potential here. We have spiritual men and women. They have a lot of knowledge of the Bible. We have a little group of young men, of the youth. We have a little bit of youth. We have kids. So we have the potential. Remember that the goal is to the flame keep burning for 100 years more. That is the goal. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the word. Thank you for this church. We are praying, Father, that you take this word and put us in our hearts. And God, I know that here there's some people that are being challenged to be as spiritual leaders. That right now they are feeling a little bit uncomfortable. You are putting things in their hearts. Please, God, rise up, women and men of God. I know that here we have youth groups, and I know that also you're speaking to them, that they need to have the right character. They need to be led. They need to be servants of the Lord. Please, God, get us that conviction so may the church can live for many years. So may the church can have endurance. Rise up marriage from this place. Rise up fathers, missionaries, pastors, so we can have continuity of the calling that you are giving us. We give all the glory to you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, church, and God bless you.
Well, that was thoroughly meaningful exposition of the word and challenge. Your English is good, although I will take issue with that sharp line after 30. I mean, that's the silly comment. But did you hear, young people, did you hear the challenge? Initiative, character, one mission. Are you involved? For all of us, that's the reality, that we have a collection of people that fit in those very passages he talked about. I said, when I saw that picture of the pizza oven, 1932 it started, and it's still going. Someone's tending to that fire all the time. Our church started in the 30s. 1930s, and we're still going. Now, it's not because we're such sharp people. It's because there is a God who is stirring the people to action. And so it was so good for us to hear someone who speaks English as a second language bring the very truth from God's word to us today. And that was something I hope rests on all of us as we leave today. Brother Benjamin has already closed our service in prayer, so we will be dismissed. But if this is causing something to percolate in your heart that you want to talk further about, see, decisions made in an emotional moment are good for that moment, but the ones that count are the ones that are thought through and acted upon. If God is stirring that in your life, you be sure not to ignore it and let us know where you are. That's for all of those who need to be respected as fathers or those that are younger to treat others. It matters not the age group. It matters what are you going to do with the application. Think about that today. Keep talking to God about what you've heard today and make decisions out of it. Thank you. You are dismissed. Oh, one more thing before I dismiss you. There is a display table out in that front lobby. Some of us have a tendency to go out that way. You want to pick up a prayer card. I know this couple would appreciate it. If you don't have one for the Haneys, there's some out there too. And you just look for a way to be part of the ongoing impact of these people as we leave today. Thank you. You are dismissed.